Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message is part four of a series called The Wonder of Worship. For this message, we have a special guest speaker from South Africa, Chevyon Brett. Today's study comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Let's join Chevyon as he shares with us this week's message titled, Naturally Supernatural.
Thank you. As Ray said, as you know, I come from the country where God lives. So it's really fun to come here and see the other countries that God actually visits so often. I'm just really grateful to be here. We're just really blessed in South Africa at the moment. And I'm really blessed because it's turning summer in South Africa, and I just am a water baby, so I want to be in the swimming pool pretty much 24/7, so we're really looking forward to that. But there's a real move of God's Spirit in our country at the moment, and even in our church, I serve at a church called Doxodeo. Doxodeo means the glory of God, and what we are is we're literally one church in many locations. So just in our city alone, we are meeting at 10 different locations, 10 church buildings across the city, and none of that's done by video. It's all done with each, there's a pastor at each campus, and just in this last year, we started three new churches in our city just because of the need of people getting saved, and there's a real wonderful move of God's Spirit that's happening amongst men in our country, and I've shown you that photo. I don't know if many of you have seen a movie that came out a little while ago called Faith Like Potatoes. And there's a man, he's this farmer, his name is Angus Buchan. And something happened in this farmer's heart where he just felt that he has to have a ministry towards men. And so he's really ministering towards men. And this year he opened up his farm and he said, I want everybody, I want you to come to my farm, men only. And over 350,000 men showed up. That's a little picture of that. That's only men at this. We kind of had little jokes about that where every tree is a lavatory. So you can imagine when a bunch of men get together. Just this was a real camping thing. And the testimonies that came out of this was tremendous, of a small little boy running into his grandfather, and the grandfather hasn't spoken to his son in decades because of stuff that's happened. And just reconciliation taking place, families changing. In my church, I hear it all the time. Women are saying, I've got a new husband. Where's my husband? Who's this guy? What have you done with him? It's really amazing to see this move of God's Spirit in our country, especially amongst men. And I believe that once you reach men, you're going to reach the whole family. So we're very, very excited about seeing what God is really doing in our city, in our country, in our churches. And the unity, I must say this as well, just add this in terms of the unity that is amongst the churches in our city is really wonderful. It's no problem for me to get a pastor from a total different denomination, total different something, whatever you want to call it, and come and have him speak, and nobody in the church would even raise an eyebrow. It's just become such normal practice for us, and the unity that's existing amongst us, and all of a sudden the churches are exploding. We're really starting to see big churches happening in our country. Very, very exciting. So you can praise God with us for that. But this morning, I really want you to just kind of give a hand clap with me this morning. And I want to bless just the people of this church. For those serving, those for Ron, this whole choir that was here. There's so many people serving in children's church this morning. They may be not sitting in the service this morning because they're serving a children's church. There were people that greeted you at the door. And these are all acts of worship. And can we just give them an applause and just... just kind of bless them. And we want to thank them because these are the acts of worship. There's something that hit them that just said, man, I need to do something for God. And we're in this series right now of speaking about worship. And this morning I want to continue with that. And this morning I've just titled this sermon just this, Naturally Supernatural. How can you and I have supernatural lives just every day and naturally? And how can you and I realign ourselves with the rhythms of God? So this morning, I want you to do something with me. If you can just kind of sit in such a posture where you can kind of have both your feet on the ground, just for a second, try this with me. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to raise your right leg and kind of move it in little circles going counterclockwise.
Maybe some get some big circles. If you kick somebody, that's okay. Some people need it this morning. Kind of go like counterclockwise. Now, while at the same time while you're doing that, take your right hand and put it over your heart. While you're going counterclockwise, nice big circles, take your right hand and then go clockwise. You gonna see what your foot does? It's kind of hard for most of us. And something happens in your mind when you do something that's just out of rhythm. Something going this way and then something else doing something else. Your mind wants to sort things out. And I believe the same is true for our spirits. Our spirits, sometimes you kind of feel, maybe some of you are in a situation where you just kind of feel, something's not working for me. Something is just kicking against what I'm experiencing around me. And I believe that is just the Holy Spirit also in our lives trying to realign us to certain things. Maybe sometimes we're moving this way and God is moving that way. And we have this pull, and I believe God wants to come and realign us just in terms of our worship. Just read with me this passage of Scripture this morning of Jesus speaking. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, talking to the crowds. And we read this story in Matthew 11, verse 28. And he says this. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Here is a wonderful invitation. Jesus is making this invitation, and he's saying, "Why don't you just draw a little bit closer to me? Why don't you pull closer? And this is what I want you to do. I want you to come and walk with me. Work with me. Just watch how I do it. Keep company with me. Just stay close. And then you will learn the unforced rhythms of grace." We sang this morning. Grace comes to our life, and it needs to be so unforced. It needs to be natural. It needs to come naturally, supernatural. You and I are made to walk in step with God, and to be walking in rhythm with God, and just having His Spirit witness to our spirit. I want to read you a story this morning of a man that was in a metro station in Washington, D.C., and this man started to play the violin, and it says it was a very cold January morning, and he played about 6 Bach pieces for about 45 minutes. During that time, since it was rush hour, it was calculated that thousands of people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. 3 minutes went by, and a middle-aged man noticed that there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace, stopped for a few seconds, and then hurried up to meet with his schedule. A minute later, the violinist received his first dollar tip. A woman threw the money into his little box, and without stopping, she continued to walk. A few minutes later, someone leaned against the wall to listen to him, but the man looked at his watch, and he started to walk again. Clearly, he was also late for work. The one who paid the most attention was a little 3-year-old boy. His mother tagged him along and hurried, but the kid stopped to look back at the violinist. Finally, the mother pushed so hard that the child continued to walk, and whole time he was turning his head back to look at the musician. Several others repeated this action, and all the parents, without exception, just kind of forced them to move on. In the 45 minutes this musician played, only 6 people stopped to give him money. But they continued to keep on walking at their normal pace. So at the end of this 45 minutes, he collected about $32. When he finished playing and silence took over, no one even noticed. No one applauded, nor was there any recognition for this musician. You see, this musician who played in this metro station, his name is Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell is considered to be the best violinist in the world today. That's him on the screen. And just 3 days prior to this social experiment that was done by the Washington Post, for him to come and play, Joshua Bell played to sold-out crowds in a theater in Boston, where the cheapest ticket to hear this man cost $100, just to hear him play the violin. Here's a man nobody knew, nobody applauded. And not only did he play the most difficult Bach pieces ever written for the violin, he played them to perfection, because he played them on a violin that cost $3.5 million. No one noticed. And I believe that's sometimes what God does with us. The beauty is all around us. You remember August Rush? The music's all around us. All you have to do is listen. God is speaking to us all the day, all the time, every day, the whole day. God is just creating this music, and sometimes we just miss Him. We haven't come to walk with Him and learn from Him the unforced rhythms of grace. We miss this beauty that God has for us. Listen to this statement that somebody just quoted to me in the week. It says, "Worship is the natural, uninhabited human response to the indescribable grace, the indisputable lordship, and the intimate embrace of Christ." In Scripture, we do not find a blueprint for what our worship should look like. We don't find a blueprint for exactly how we should worship, but it does give us just some principles in the Word. And this morning, I just want us to come and have a look at some of these principles concerning our lives as offerings for worship. And I want to say that worship for us is really not about getting anything. Worship is about giving. Worship, whether it be your money that you just put in an offering plate, it's an act of worship. It's a giving to God. It's not a receiving. And so many times we kind of have that attitude when we come to church because we're living in such a consumer-driven society. We just want, want, want. And it's not about what God does for us. It is that human response to God intervening in our lives. It is that response that just comes so naturally to us. And worship for you and me, we can only really understand worship when it comes out of relationship. Relationship is the key to everything. I have found a very great principle for my marriage, and that is I've made a conscious decision that every day, being a pastor, you kind of work different hours, and you don't know when you come home, and I've just made a decision that every day, single day, when I come home, I want to spend at least an hour with my wife, just talking. And just this talking, it does something for our relationship. There's something that builds in, and my wife gets to bask in the glory that is me. I actually counsel a lot of young people want to get married. I say, make this a principle in your life. Just be together. Just love on one another. Just kind of worship one another. Stand in awe of one another. And that's what worship is. That's what relationship is. Worship is out of relationship. Worship is that which I cannot wait to see God in the morning. I can't wait to spend time with God. I can't wait. Why? Because I'm not doing it out of religion. That's why the scriptures just said, Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? You've tried to do so many things in ritual. But it's not out of ritual where we worship God. It's out of relationship. It's out of intimacy, where we need to connect with God in intimacy. And when we have this intimacy, and intimacy is that starting point for worship, this would lead us to this whole place of expression. Worship is the evidence of a life that is passionately pursuing the power of His presence and the wonder of His person and the glory of His purpose. Expression is because of relationship. Worship is facilitating that experience, that response, and how then I express this within my workplace and my everyday life and my marriage and how I work with my colleagues and my children or whoever you engage with. Worship is just that expression of understanding God. And it's also understanding your identity of who you are. I had a great experience. I live in South Africa, so we don't get American sports, so while I was here in the United States, somebody gave me tickets to go and see a Broncos game. And I was excited. I've never seen an American football game. I'm going to go see a Broncos game. And when the people in the church found out I was going to watch this Broncos game, they said, well, you can't go dress like that. We need to change you. So these people came over, and somebody gave me a Broncos football jersey. I was blue and orange, had Elway at the back, had an orange cap, I had a foam finger, I had a flag. I got to go see this game. I had the full experience. The $8 hot dog and the drink was root beer. I had it. And I got to see this game. And it was so incredible. Then afterwards, when we came out of the stadium, I heard people on the phone. And obviously, I can deduct what the conversation's about. And people asking, well, what happened? And everybody's response was the same. We won! We won! Maybe you've had that experience, so maybe you're a Seahawks fan. Well, no, I think that's a bad example. They never win. And these guys are walking out and they're crying and they're saying, we won. And I'm thinking to myself, who's this we? What did you do? You did nothing. You didn't get tackled. You didn't catch a ball. And I just realized something. That is worship. That's an expression of identity, identifying myself with that team. And I go, you didn't win. They go, no, you don't understand. That's my team. If they win, I win. Isn't that the Christian story? Because Christ has won, I have won. I have identified myself with Christ. More than that, I've put on His gear. I am dressed with the garments that God has. I've got His name on my back. I'm here to show off. I'm here to just represent God. I'm here to express that. Whenever there's game day, it's just great to see the people. I saw them on Saturday. Everybody had their Ducks clothing on. Why? Because they know this is game day. And you and I are clothed every day with our game day clothes. We are clothed with Christ. Listen to what Isaiah 61 says in verse 3. He says, He provides for those who grieve in Zion. He says, He will bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. We sang that this morning. And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Goes on, actually, it says, they will be called the oaks of righteousness. God says he takes something off and He puts something on. He gives you a garment of praise. You and I have the capacity and the ability and the right, because of the blood of Jesus, to come boldly into this throne room, and we are clothed with worship. Our lives should express that. Our lives, we should just express these things that God is doing in our lives. That's why we are here. You ever wonder why you are here? Jesus said this. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus is saying. He says, let me tell you why you are here. He says, you are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. You and I are here to bring out the God flavors. You and I are here to bring out the God colors in this world. And see, that can only happen when you and I have a relationship with the living Christ. It can only happen when you and I draw near. It reminds me of Moses, how Moses used to go into the tent of meeting and meet with God. And the Bible says as a man speaks with his friend. And it says when he came out, he had this glow about him. The glow was so strong. People said, please cover yourself with a veil. We can't look upon you. And after a while, this glow kind of faded away from Moses. Why did it fade? Because he stopped going into the tent of meeting. He stopped having intimacy with God. He stopped having a relationship where we just sit down with God and just worship Him and let Him just come and fill us, come and flow our lives so we can kind of come and realign ourselves to these rhythms of grace that God wants from us in our lives. I just can't help myself but express that when I have a meeting with a living God. Where does this expression come from? If worship is an expression, where does this expression come from? Read with me what Colossians 1:27 says. He says, "To them, God has chosen to make known amongst the Gentiles." To make known amongst the Gentiles, that's expression. He's chosen to express himself the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then there's another story in John chapter 4. This is the greatest story, I believe, that where Jesus actually spoke about worship. What does worship look like? And he had this experience with the woman, a Samaritan woman at this well. And Jesus said this to her at the end of their conversation. He said, "Yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." First he says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Then he says, worship God in spirit and truth. For me, to just want to give you an example this morning, and it's really helped me. And for me, it looks like this. It's like my little golf glove. If this would be just my life or your life, there's something that happens when a living God comes and lives in you. Your life fuses with God's life. So whatever the hand does, the glove does. Whatever the Spirit of God does, the body does. It gives expression. This glove gives expression to anything that my hand does. And you and I need to understand, it says when Christ is in you, this is what happens. Whatever the Spirit does, you do. This glove actually takes on the form of my hand. This glove aligns with me, rhythmically. Whatever it does, I do. And that's what God is inviting us to. He says, when you worship God in spirit and in truth, it literally means that you and I need to have an experience with God. See, expression comes from experience. Experiencing God in a supernatural way. You and I are made out of spirit, you can go on, and of a soul, and of a body. We are not made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. See, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. See, when God says that worshipers must worship him in spirit, it means that your spirit, my spirit, needs to connect with God's spirit. There needs to be a fusion, a coming together of two spirits. Our spirit needs to have a response, a something happens. And when this happens, there's something that happens. There's a balance that takes place in our lives. And I want to say this about balance. Balance is not the middle point of living in extremes. Having balance in our lives is so that you and I have alignment within the midst of extremes. When the Spirit of God comes in and your spirit fuses with God's spirit, it becomes so one, there is a balance that takes place. In the midst of anything that happens, I can worship God. In the midst of anything, I can worship God. Ray kind of reminded me of the story. You remember the story of David? He had a son with Bathsheba, and the son died. What was the first thing that David did when his son died? He went to the temple, and he worshiped God. He had a lifestyle of worship. In the midst of his darkest despair, of his deepest, darkest heartache, he just came to a place where he understood that he needs to, worship God. I want you to understand something tonight, just what happens when your spirit connects with God's spirit. See, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit. So this spirit and your spirit connects, and when this happens, there's revelation. There's rhema. There's understanding. There's impartation. There's peace. There's insight that comes when your spirit connects with God's spirit. But see, it doesn't stay there because your spirit kind of moves into this soul realm. And when you have this revelation of who Christ is, because of relationship, you become to understand what God does. In your soul realm, in your faculties, in your mind, you become to understand. And that's where conviction takes place. Because your spirit is so connected with God's spirit, there's a conviction where you just know, I can't go on doing the things I've done. I cannot be the same again because I've had this meeting with God. There's conviction. And when this expression, well, when this hits your body, it turns into expression. I cannot help myself. When David's spirit connected with God's spirit, David started dancing before the Lord, and he started ripping off his clothes, and he danced naked before the Lord all the way to the temple. And the people said, wow, look how undignified. What did David say? I'll get even more undignified than this. You see, because I'm playing to an audience of one. I just want to worship that one. There's a story that was told of a man that was a brilliant concert pianist, and he played this concert, and after he had finished playing, there were so many people just throwing flowers on the stage, and he got 10 standing ovations. And when he came off the stage, the media was there, and they asked him, so how does it feel? How does it feel to get all this applause? How does it feel to just have 10 standing ovations? He says, well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really mean that much to me. He says, you have to understand that most people who came to hear me speak or to hear me play this morning, they know nothing about music. He says, but there was one old guy who was sitting up at the top. And when he got up and clapped, I knew it was good enough. You see, that guy is my teacher. He says, I was playing for him. And I'm playing for an audience of one. I'm here to kind of bring out the God flavors, the God colors in this world. Why? Because I have had a revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. I have had an experience where I've come to identify myself with Him. I've clothed myself with Christ. I've put on His blood. I've written Jesus on the back. Maybe that'll be a good tattoo, I think. Just have Jesus on me. And this gives expression when it really hits our bodies. That's why we need to live from the Spirit. Read with me Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll just quickly go through this verse. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. And here's the key. And you will be changed from the inside out. Media won't influence you. The things happening around you won't influence you. You will be influenced from a spirit revelation where you change from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, it's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. It says, for God brings the best out of you. Not to you, for you, out of you. Spirit connection. He develops well-formed maturity in you. He's just aligning us back to the rhythms of His grace. He wants to kind of reconnect us to this. Listen to this verse in Genesis 1:27. And man, I wish I had 8 weeks to just spend on the first 15 verses of Genesis. It's just the best book ever written. And listen to this verse in Genesis 1:27. He says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Have you ever wondered what God looks like? Kind of look at the person next to you. You and I are made in the image of Christ. You ever wonder what God looks like? Just look around you. Each and every one of us has the DNA of God built into us. That's why it's so easy for us to connect our spirits with God's spirit. We have the same DNA. We are made in His image. And He goes on and He says, and so He created them, male and female, He created them. I like this concept where He started speaking about male and female, how he created them. And he uses an interesting word there in the Hebrew language, and this word is the word zakar in Hebrew. This word zakar in Hebrew literally means to remember. It means to remember. Translated today in modern Hebrew, it means to tell a story. To tell a story. In modern Hebrew, they would say, analecha zakar, I am a storyteller. And there are two ways that you and I can tell a story. The first way we can tell a story is we can tell a story from memory. We can remember a story. Right now, if you ask me, I'll tell you the story of Goldilocks and the bears. I can tell you the story of Little Red Riding Hood. Why? Because I have it stored somewhere in my memory banks. I've heard the story before. I can remember the story. And that is such a Greek model for us, and the New Testament speaks about that often. We can tell a story from a Greek mindset. We can remember things. And you know what? That's sometimes how you and I worship God. We come into church, and it's so easy for us. We can close our eyes, and we can just sing along because we know the words. We have it memorized. It's in our memory banks. We remember the words. I don't need to see it. And I know exactly when I need to raise my hands, and I know when to drop the one and bring it back up. I have it memorized. And I've learned this being in church and growing up in church since a little boy, because that's what you kind of learn in Sunday school. You learn all the moves, and I've got joy, joy. I don't know how that goes. But we've memorized this, and we can worship God from that way. But see, there's another way, and that's just the Hebrew model of what this word actually means, to tell a story. It is that you and I can tell a story from what they call, not memory, but recall. I can recall something. I recall something, why? Because I was there. I recall it from experience. I've experienced it. I have seen with my own eyes people raised from the dead. I've seen the blind see. I've seen the deaf hear. I've experienced. I can tell you, it's not somebody else's story. It's my story. Actually, it's his story. Therefore, I have experience in history. His story. It's become my story. And you and I need to come to a place of worship where we recall instead of remember. You and I must not worship God from what we know, but from what we have experienced with him. In intimacy, in relationship, from having a spirit connection with one another. And that gives expression. And when we sing and when we close our eyes and we hear a song like we sang this morning, I'm not remembering the words so that I can sing along. I am busy recalling experience with God. Oh yeah, when we sang that song about God saves, I remember that. I remember my salvation. I remember how God heals. I've seen that. I recall that. And it makes me so excited about Jesus. Makes me want to just go home and spend more time with him. It just creates something inside of you, an excitement that I can't keep in. It becomes naturally supernatural. It becomes a natural alignment with the rhythms of God's grace and what God is just doing in our lives. I wrote this statement down over the weekend just being here, and I don't know where this came from, but I just had this experience, and I wrote this down. And I said, worship is more than just a heavenly moment. It engages my whole being. So I don't care how high I jump when I worship, and the only thing that matters is how straight I walk when I come down. And I just want my whole life to be a reflection of the beauty of God as is reflected in his Son, Jesus Christ, the one with whom I identify, whose tattoo I have on my back. See, worship does not have to do with what you do, how you do it, when you do it. Worship has to do with who you have to do with. And once you and I can understand that we see Jesus face to face, I'm just going to end there. You and I need to connect our spirits back to God's spirits. We need to have that revelation that comes from within. God changes us from the inside out. And I so hope that these words this morning, these scriptures, would just be that, a reminder for you, a reminder of what Christ has done for you, a reminder that Jesus is saying these words for you. See, Jesus did not come to be an example for man. He came to be an example of man. He came to show us how to live. And Jesus did so more than just die on a cross. He came to give us these words that were spoken today. An invitation to come and learn from him, walk with him. And then there was one more invitation that Jesus gave at the end of his life. He made this invitation. He says, when you come and you sit at my table, partake of this as often as you can. Because this is what I want you to do. I want you to remember. I want you to recall. I want you to recall what Christ did for you on the cross. And this morning, as we get ready to serve communion, I want this to be your prayer this morning. That when you take the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus as a symbol, as a sacrament this morning, I just want you to kind of recall this morning the great things that God has done in your life. And then also just for a moment, just to take time to contemplate and meditate on the things that God really wants to do in your life. And he wants to do one thing, spend time with you. He fills his mind with you. What is man that you are mindful of you? God is busy filling his mind with you. He wants intimacy with you. He wants his spirit to connect with your spirit. Let's pray. Just close our eyes. Father, this morning I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you so much for thinking.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring part 4 of our series called The Wonder of Worship. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us this coming Sunday. For more information about our service times and about our church, visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.